And can you, hope
that he's good.
Yes, sir.
And thank God for my wife and for all that he's doing in our midst. And thank God for the way he continues to keep my father, in spite of the situation he's going through, God is still a good God.
Amen.
Yeah. Find no fault in Jesus. Tonight we're going to deal with righteousness. Amen. We're going to deal with righteousness. And righteousness is not what we think. Righteousness is what God sees and what God thinks. So I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will come from Ephesians chapter 4. Tonight we're dealing with righteousness, and later we will define what is righteousness. Amen. Jesus himself said, I do always the things that please my Father. That's what righteousness is. Doing the things that please God. We'll start with verse 1, and then after verse 1, we'll skip down to verse 12. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now let's go down to verse 4.
Descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
For the
some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith
and of the knowledge of the Son of God,
unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. It says what? Every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past filling have given themselves over unto the seriousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of the word, and may be sealed. Amen. Tonight, we're dealing with verse 24. And that you put on what kind of man?
New man.
Put on who?
New man.
New man, that is what?
After God.
After God is created in
righteousness.
And really it means true righteousness and true holiness. Amen. So if there's a true righteousness and a true holiness, then there has to be a false righteousness and also a false holiness. Amen. But I'm going to give you a definition of righteousness. Righteousness, and it comes from the Greek word, which is dikaiosthene, and it is the character or quality of being right, just in the sight of God. The character or quality of being right or just in the sight of God, and it also could be termed those who
thinking, feeling, and acting is in harmony with the will of God. That is righteousness. Our way of thinking, our feelings, and our actions or way of living are in harmony with the will of God. Amen? So what we're going to do is we're going to break righteousness down into three classes tonight, just for our Bible study. Amen. The first class, which we will deal with last, will be called godly righteousness or true righteousness. Class number one. Class number two will be religious or Pharisaic righteousness, or that which is right in the eyes of man, but not in harmony with God. Religious or Pharisaic righteousness will be that which is right in the sight of man, but is not in harmony with God, and it does not reflect the will of God. That is Pharisaic or religious righteousness. And last will be self-righteousness. Amen. Self-righteousness is pleasing self. Religious or Pharisaic righteousness is pleasing others. True holiness, true righteousness is pleasing God. Amen. So let's go. We're going to start off with the religious righteousness. Religious righteousness, as Elder Mackey often said, everything is a religion. Amen. Witchcraft is a religion. Even today, the young people's hip-hop is a religion. Religion is belief in something. Amen. So there is a religious righteousness. But that type of righteousness does not necessarily reflect the character or the will of God. Amen. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to identify the characteristic of what are the manners of these types of righteousness. Tonight, our desire is to be in godly righteousness or true righteousness. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 and actually, I wrote down books for tonight, so we read a little. I don't know what I said. Matthew. I don't even know where Hebrews came from. There's something in Hebrews, but that's what we didn't like. Matthew, sorry, chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 18. We live in a society religiously today where pleasing God is not the number one goal for most people. Amen. Most of the time, people will do things in conflict with God to please either themselves or someone else. Religious righteousness could also be pleasing the church or church leadership, though it may be in conflict with God. That's religious or Pharisaic righteousness. Amen? So verse 18 reads, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least," amen, you don't have to bring a lot of them, just bring how many? "One of these least commandments, and shall teach man so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great." So it says, if you teach men, or if you yourself choose to break the commandments, God sees you as least in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20 reads, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness do what?
Exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees."
If it does, it has to exceed it, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case
enter into the kingdom of heaven.
A lot of people are trying to go to heaven. Amen? But their righteousness is out of check. It's not in harmony with God. So Jesus said, now, if you these my commandments, he said, your lease. He said, and then if you teach men to do so, then they are lease. He said, now in order for you to get to heaven, your righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the religious. It has to go beyond just being religious. Religion is a belief or acceptance of something. It takes more than that to go to heaven. So Jesus said, you have to exceed that righteousness of those people. And now I'm going to go to verse 6 to give you even more clarity of Matthew chapter 6. Start with verse 1. We're going to give you more clarity as to what is religious righteousness or even Pharisee righteousness. And the Pharisees had a bad habit, and we will find out as we go to verse 6, verse 1. It says, take ye that ye do not your to be what? Today we live in a spiritual time of a spot of apostasy where most people do things just to be seen. Amen. There's no true integrity. There's no true righteousness. There's no true desire to do the things that are pleasing to God. So, religious. They said in church we should do this, so I'm going to do this. Though in the portion of my spiritual mind, I know that's not God. But I want to be right with the church. Amen. I want to be right with whatever religious institution I'm involved with. So even though it eats me up, it chews at me, it tears at me, I'm going to still do it. Why? He said, to be seen of them. He said, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in. When we do things, and it's not from the sincerity of our hearts, just to please someone, knowing that it's in conflict with God, he says, ye have no reward of your Father. Amen. So a lot of people are trying to figure out my life is a mess and a muck and a this and a that. Who are you trying to please? Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not kill the ostentatious display. Amen. Kill that outward show. Kill all that when I prayed, I jumped. No. He said, no, don't do that. You're doing that to be what? Seen of men. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of wrong motives, wrong spirit, wrong attitude. We don't need glory from men. We need glory from who?
God.
He said, verily I say to you, they have their
reward.
For what? But when thou, we've skipped something. Go to verse 5. Go to verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the what? For they love to pray standing in
synagogues.
And in the well, why are you being so religious? Why are you appearing to be so godly? Amen. We're talking about religious righteousness or Pharisee or seeking the approval of man. He said, that they may be seen.
Amen.
Amen. Saints tonight. If I come into church and I testify and I sing, it's for men. Wrong righteousness. Mm-hmm. Amen. What God told Samuel to tell Saul, God had given Saul direct commandments for what he wanted him to do. But Saul did what he wanted to do. And God told Samuel, he said, you know, it repenteth me that I even set Saul up to be king. He said, now when he was small in his own eyes, walked humbly before me. He said, but now he's lifted up in pride. He said, Samuel, tell Saul, because he's rejected my word, I have rejected him, because to obey is what?
Better than sacrifice.
Says, verily I said to you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But thou when thy prayers enter into thy closet, and when thy prayers shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in
secret.
You don't have to do it for no man. The right motives, the right reason. Well, why am I going to do this to please God so that God sees? It says here, and thy Father which what?
In secret.
Forget about men. Forget about pleasing anybody else if you're not pleasing God. Thy Father that seeth in secret shall reward thee how?
Openly.
Amen. That Pharisaic or religious righteousness. Well, why did you do it? You know, the greater portion of my conscience and my mind told me not to do it, but I did it because I wanted to please the religious authorities, whoever or whatever they may be. Saints, if it's in conflict with the Word of God, then we should not do it. So, well, I did it, and everybody said I'm all right. He said, well, remember this, your Father sees in what?
Secret.
Amen. And if you do it to please men, you already have your reward. Because you did it with the wrong motives. So your reward comes from man. But when you do it from the sincerity of your heart and secret, your Father which seeth in will reward you openly. Amen. Now let's go down to verse 16 of the same chapter. We're identifying, amen, what is religious righteousness? Or the righteousness to be seen or to please men. If your life is out of whack with God, I don't care who the elders, the ministers, and the people are, it does you no good. Amen. To do it to be seen of us. We can't give you a reward. Only God can reward us. It's alarming in our society today. People can do wrong and act like God has their back and that God is going to set a seal of approval on the wrong. He said, if you break one of these least of my commandments. And then Jesus, a little later, said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. And then in the book of James, the Lord says, we ought to keep all the law. But if we offend in one point, we're guilty of what? All. We need to fall in harmony with the word of God to be righteous. Verse 16. He said, moreover, when ye fast, be not as of a what?
Bad countenance.
You know, I want people to know I'm fasting. Amen. So I'm going to make myself I'm just going to make it known. When you look at me, you know I'm fasting. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto
men.
First one, they did their alms to be seen of.
Amen.
They prayed to be seen of.
Amen.
These are what you would call spiritual qualities that help to embellish our spiritual life. Even though they're spiritual, if you do it for the wrong reason, they profit you nothing. Amen. Almsgiving, prayer. Now fasting, Jesus taught us, this kind cometh not out about what? But if you're doing it for the wrong reason, it's going to stay right where it's at. You can't get it out. Amen. So if this is last fasting, he said, be not hypocrites or a sad countenance. So they do it, then they appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 17. Said, but thou when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy
face.
Forget about what people see. Because man looks at the what? But God looks at
heart.
On the motives. Amen. The word of God is quick and powerful. We went over this last week. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. But the most important thing, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the
intentions.
In other words, God's word exposes you for what you really are. Amen. So I said, don't worry about seeking man's approval if it's in conflict with God. Have you heard of normal people that know they're in conflict with God, but religiously they're all right because they're pretty clean in whatever the institution they're a part of? God says, you can't get to heaven like that. You have your reward because you're not doing it for me, so I'm not going to bless that wrong. You got to do it right. Amen. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which seeth them. We're doing the things that God can see. We're doing the things to honor and glorify God. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 23. So what we're doing is identifying the habits, the character, the things, the actions in our life that are done for man. Amen. It does us no good to know that our life is out of harmony with God. But what the Pharisees and the religious do is they go through the motions. Amen. So let's go to Matthew 23, verse 2. They go through the motions. The righteousness, 23, 2. The righteousness that we're dealing with first is religious righteousness. A whole lot of people are religious, but they aren't saved. A whole lot of people are going to church, but they aren't saved. A whole lot of people are doing everything to please whoever's in charge of the church, but they aren't saved because their heart is not right. Amen? Verse 2 of 23:2. I'll start with my Bible, and then you all can catch up. Amen? 23, verse 2 reads, and likewise, and saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in
Moses'
seat. In other words, this is the religious authority. These are the spiritual leaders. They sit in other words, they give you the authority for what you shall and shall not do. Verse 3. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not after
their works.
They just want to be seen. They're telling you what to do. Amen. In church, they're the most holy and sanctimonious people in the world. But when they leave out of church, I said, what about their works? Amen. A tree is known by its fruits. Amen. So when they leave, when you're not around the saints, what are their fruits? My wife talks about some trees have ugly fruit. So if it's ugly fruit, what kind of tree is it?
Ugly tree.
Ugly tree. It said, and all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after them, for they say,
do not.
Religious righteousness is no real substance down in the heart. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and grievously be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move.
One of the things.
Like I said, forget the hand, they won't even move a finger. Just going through the motions. That type of righteousness does not sit right with God. Verse 5, but all their works do they for to be even those in charge in the church. Their number one desire is not for God. It's to be what?
Seen of
men. That they may broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Amen. Let's go down to verse 25, same chapter, 23. What we're showing you is forget about Men see you because God sees us when no one else does. Amen. Verse 25. What are you, scribes and Pharisees? You are imposters. Amen. You're not really saved. You're just going through the motions. For you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is
within.
God said, clean the inside first. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God says, forget about all the things that you're saying and the way you're acting to be seen. He said, if you want to be right in my sight, clean up the inside first, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which appear
beautiful.
You look all right on the outside. You got the right talk. You got the right walk. You got the right shout. You got the right prayer. You say everything just right. He said, but are within full of
dead
men's bones and all uncleanness. Verse 28, even so, ye also outwardly. Outwardly appear what?
Righteous.
Righteous. That's religious righteousness. You know in your heart, and I'm not saying it to anyone in particular, but I'm saying if you're going through the motion, you know in your heart things aren't right, and in your conscience they're not right. It says, but you do this outwardly to appear righteous, because God already knows. Amen. God saw everything. He knows. Our God is a wise God. He tells us in Psalm 139, I know your thoughts. Before you even act to do what you're going to do, God says, I already know it. So when you don't do it with the right motives or for the right reasons, God says, you're not doing it for me because I already know it. So if you come to church and then shout and dance and then you know that your life is out of harmony, you're doing it to be seen. Not of me, because God says, I see in the light, the dark, whatever the same. Even behind closed doors, God said, I see and I know. So your righteousness, you're not trying to seek my approval. You're doing it to be seen of men. He said, that he may appear righteous unto men, but within he is full of your life. Iniquity is lawlessness. In other words, you don't govern your life by the word of God. Amen. And the last one, the first class, once again, is what? It's called religious righteousness or Pharisaic. In other words, this is just a see me righteousness. Because when you get went down the road, meet the road, you got nothing but mess in your heart, in your mind, motives. Amen. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the qualities of love. There's no real love. We do everything and the motives are wrong. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 12 and we'll go to verse 42. John chapter 12. This is the last illustration of religious righteousness. And then we will go into self-righteousness. This righteousness is pleasing everybody else. There are some individuals in church that all they think about, they don't care about pleasing anybody but themselves. But this is the last one, 12:42 of John. That are for religious righteousness. It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed. It takes more than just believing. Mm-hmm. Amen. Many what?
Believed on him.
But because of the they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the
synagogue.
Because they had an issue. When you're trying to be religious righteous, when you're trying to seek the approval of an institution or false leaders, of those that have no real spiritual motives or desires. It says the problem is that they believed on him. They know what Jesus was saying was right. But they could not do the right thing because of fear of what? The religious leaders. They couldn't do what was right because of what this one might say. They might put me out of the church. If they're not right, what difference does it make? Amen? Saying what? Jesus said, he said, if you stay there, you're doing it to pray for their approval, you already got your reward. So don't think you're going to heaven, I'm going to reward that. Wrong spirit, wrong motive. God said, I won't bless them. He said, for they love the praises of men. When you're religious, righteous. When you don't want to please God. They love the praise of men, what?
More than praise of God.
And you're going to go to heaven? Come on. That doesn't work with God. Those are those that want to be right with whatever their religious institution or church might be. But they are out of favor with God. They're not doing anything to please God. Now let's go over self-righteousness. Do we all understand kind of what it means to be religious righteous? You can be religious righteous, that don't mean you're saved. Because to be saved means from the inside out you are pure. Remember we went over what pure is, what sincerity is in salvation, the word elocrine means. It means to be sun-judged. In other words, they talk about the S-U-N, but the real reference is to the S-O-N. In other words, when the light of God's word shine on our heart. Forget about the outside. See, the good thing about God, the word of God is what? Quickening is what? But it doesn't discern the outside. It goes to the what? That's why I say it separates the soul and the spirit. Can anybody see the soul? Can anybody see the spirit? God can. Amen. Then God in his infinite wisdom, because he's God and his word is alive and quick, he said, I can even separate what gives the bones their ability to move or to live, or what supplies the blood to the system of the body. Only God can do that. Can't nobody else do that. How? Through the word of God. We want to be saved. Be saved by his word, because his word will judge us day in and day out. Say, well, I went in church, nobody saw me. God said, I saw you. Because with God, there is no hiding place. Amen. When you went there, God said, I saw you. Now, don't just come to church and get your shout and your jump and you say and pray my strength in the Lord. No, live your strength in the Lord. People don't need to pray you in the Lord, just live it. Amen. All right, now let's go to Job chapter 32. We're going to deal with now. That's religious righteousness. Or let's call that institutional righteousness. In other words, everybody's pleasing an institution, whatever the institution could be, but it's not God. God, they're not seeking the praises of God. Job 32, verse 1. I'm gonna have to move a little faster than our audio video. Okay, all right. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was
righteous in his own eyes.
They said, we can't. What good is it gonna do for us to keep reasoning with a man that's what? You can't help somebody that's right in their own eyes. That's called what kind of righteousness? Verse 2. Then was kindled the wrath of Eli, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled. Well, now, Elihu actually means to in the stand of God. And actually, I read a story, Elihu, I read a story on, from, not a story, but teaching from Bishop G.T. Haywood on this. Wow, phenomenal. He tells how the whirlwind came and all represented Jesus and salvation. It's phenomenal. We're not here for that, so let's keep going. that's like a teaser, but that's what it really is, really phenomenal. And against Job was his wrath kindled because he what?
By himself.
Rather than self-righteous. When a person is always justifying themselves absence of God, that's self-righteous. Amen. Let's go to Job 33, just another couple of verses on Job. We're dealing with what kind of righteousness now? Well, the number one indictment against those self, that are self-righteous is they justify who? More than
God.
Amen. We just want to be right, God. We don't want to have a phony salvation. We don't want to just go through the motions. We want to be right. So let's go. Job 33, verse 5. It says, this is Elihu. He continues with Job. He said, if thou can answer me, set thy words in order before me and
get up.
In other words, be a man. Amen. Part of being saved is you got to stop being a coward and all the time. You got to stand up. He said, behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of clay. He said, now, Job, you've done all of this, and you ran your mouth so much, and you wish that you could contend or plead with God. He said, now, I'm just a man just like you, but I'm going to set things in order. Verse 7 said, behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am. Said, Job, every man has issues. Now I heard you in your self-righteousness say, I'm clean without transgression. I am innocent, mighty as that iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his
enemy.
Who's he talking about? God. He said, I'm more righteous than God. How can God do this against me? How can God act like that against me? You know, some of us, we don't say it, but our actions say it. We may not say it verbally, but we say it spiritually. Amen? Said, I got a quiet church. He putteth my feet in the stubble. He marketh all my path. Behold, in this thou art not
just.
Now, just and righteous are both are interchangeable. In the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, righteous is just. You cannot be just without being righteous, and you cannot be righteous unless you are just. So he said, in this you are not righteous. I will answer thee that God is
greater than man.
Can you imagine Job, the great patriot that God bragged on, thought that he was equal with God? That's what happens when we get an elevated opinion of ourselves. We don't necessarily think we say it, but all of our actions to those that have godly discernment say that you are on par with God. He said, why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any
of his matters.
God doesn't have to tell us or give an answer to us for why he does what he does. When you're self-righteous, you think that God should answer you. See, Job, you're not greater than God. Tonight, we are not greater than God. Let's go to Job 35. Actually, I'm going to speed up a little faster. Job 35, and let's go to verse 2 of Job 35. When we leave tonight, we want to guess about what's religious or institutional righteousness. We won't have to try and figure out what's self-righteous. All we have to do is just walk in the light. The Bible says he's
in the light.
Thinkest thou this to be right? That thou sayest, my righteousness is. When you get self-righteous, everything is about you. Your righteousness is what? More than God. Amen. How, Job, what happened? Your trial was that bad that you went from being a man of integrity, a man that God bragged on in the beginning, but because the trial wore on, because there was no letting up, you got to the point where you start rivaling God. Saints of God, we cannot allow trials. We cannot allow what we're going through to force us in a position where we think God has to give us an answer because we're over Him. This is what happened to Job. He said, "For thou said, what advantage will it be unto thee? And what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my..." In other words, you know, Job is saying, what difference does it make if I'm clean from my sin or whatever happens? God, what happened? You see, I'm saying, well, God, you know what? When I look at me and I look at you, you're wrong. He said, so don't worry about cleansing me from my sin because I don't have any. That's a dangerous position to be in. That's too righteous. That ain't just self-righteous, that's too righteous. He's contending now with God. Amen. Let's keep going. He said, "I will ask thee and thy companions with thee. Look unto the heavens and see and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? If thy transgression be multiplied, what doest thou unto him?" You know what he's telling Job? Job, don't you realize when your sin, when your transgression is against God? How are you justified? Now, Job, in the beginning, had not sinned. But our trials, thank God for him allowing us. God doesn't bring trials. We allow trials to come to reveal our inner man. The psalmist in 19 said, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins, yet shall I be innocent of the grave transgression." God allows our trials to reveal some hidden parts, some secret faults. Amen. And we don't know it's down there, but can you imagine Job, verse 1 and 2, he's the most, there's none like him. He's fierce, he's cured of evil. His integrity is beyond reproach. But trials have a way of wearing us down spiritually when we get out of tune with God's righteousness. When we get out of tune with God's righteousness, our trials will wear us out to the point that we put our finger in God's face and say, "You're the problem." That's what happened to Job. We have to be careful in our self-righteousness. He said, "If thou be righteous, what you gonna give God? You're so great. What can you give God? And God can give you some stuff. God can do some stuff for you. But in all of your righteousness, what can you do for God?" Amen. So I go to church, I pray. We're not doing that for God. We're doing it to prove our faithfulness to God. We're not doing anything for God. He said, "So if you be righteous, what are you doing for him? Or what receiveth he?" All right, Job, you say you're better than God. What can you give God? What can you do for God? When you're dead and gone, God's going to still be here. So what are you going to give God? Amen. That's called self-righteous. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. We're dealing now with what kind of righteousness?
Self-righteousness.
Thank God it doesn't apply to the end of us, but this is just something that we're putting, so we're putting on the internet. Amen. Can I get some help somewhere? It says the preparation of, okay, we're going. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is
from the Lord.
Whatever you do, it really is from God if you have the right moments. Verse 2. All the ways. When you're self-righteous, you don't do no wrong. Amen. You know when you go outside the church, you ever meet those people that in their whole life they never did anything wrong? They never were the problem, it was always everybody else. They out there. They're not in here. All the ways of a man are what? In God's eyes. In his own eyes. It said, but the Lord, God really reveals the real you. God reveals your true motives. God weighs the spirit. That's when we are too self-righteous. All right, let's go to Proverbs 21:2. I'm not gonna, then we're gonna go to 2 Corinthians. I'm not gonna go through all these. Let's go to Proverbs 21:2. It says, every way of a man is right. That's self-righteous. You don't do anything wrong. It's always everybody else. I messed up. The reason I'm in my position is because of everybody else. I did everything right. The only reason I'm like this is because of what you did, he did, she did. Every way of a man is right. That's self-righteous. If that self-righteous spirit will actually rival God. If we're not careful, when we're too self-righteous, we'll get in a position where we'll take God's word and use it against God. That's why he asked Job, he said, Job, what can you do for God? If you were clean, if you were pure, like you said, what can you do for God? He said, what reward can you give God? Amen? Self-righteous. Can point all the fingers. What is it? When you point one, what happens?
Yes, three pointed back at you.
Okay, y'all all right. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Self-righteous. Now, we're going to go to, chapter 10, verse 12. We're going to deal here with when you really have arrived spiritually. When you are Mrs. and Mr., Doctor, whatever, Apostle, and all the rest of that stuff on the outside. But Jesus said earlier, when you just saying and don't live, you're nothing more than a bunch of dead men bones. There's no real integrity to it. Verse 12 reads, for we dare not make ourselves
of the
numbers. Well, are you saying, yeah? Comparing myself with them? Yeah, I'm saved. Our standard, our measurement is never each other. I'm not even your measurement, because I will mess up. Our standard of measure is God. So Paul is telling the second letter to the Corinthians. He said, you all are messing up spiritually because you're comparing yourselves to someone else. Well, they fell, so God got to be merciful on me. No, that's not God's plan. God wants righteousness from the heart. So he said, for we dare not make ourselves a member or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Amen. Remember, we can only see the outward motions or the outward expressions. One of the illustrations that Jesus gives back in Matthew chapter 23 when he's dealing with dead men, he said, you know what? They clean up those graves, make them look so good, that you all don't realize you walk on a bunch of dead bodies because of the facade that's carried. And you don't realize it, but you're walking on dead men's bones because of the facade, because of the whitewash. Well, when we get confused and our salvation is based on what everybody else is saying, sister, brother, why did you do that? Well, because that's what they expected me to do. Is that what God wants you to do? No, that's what the church says to do, so that's what I do. It's facetious, but it's true today. There's too many people that are living without a consideration for God. The self-righteous and institutional righteous do not consider God. In the book of Psalms, it says, "Beware ye that forget God." The one thing God told the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, he said, "Beware lest ye forget God." When our lives are not in true righteousness and holiness, we forget God. We do something, but we forget that God sees and knows, okay? It says, committing themselves, but they measure themselves
by themselves.
The standard of holiness and righteousness is not each other. It is who? God. Amen. So, well, I know I got God, but I'm kind of disobedient to God's word every once in a while. In the beginning was? The word was
with God.
The word
was God.
So when you disobey the word,
God.
You disobey God, disobey the word. They're not, you can't separate them because God is his word.
Amen.
Amen. So, well, I don't think mess up on a little scripture. If you're guilty in one, you're guilty.
Well,
if you break one of the least of these my commandments, you're guilty of all. It's time to fall in line with God's word. But the problem that the church has outside of these walls, y'all can say amen. I'm about to put some other stuff on the internet. I can't put this on there. I'm going to say, man, he's speaking to a funeral. To their church, you know. One of the greatest problems that we have in the church is everybody's doing everything without the consideration for God. They say, well, 300 people did this. I didn't want to be an oddball. One in God is always majority. Amen. Our whole hearts being in desire speak to please God. Once we start measuring ourselves by ourselves, then commending ourselves with ourselves, the scripture says, you are not wise. That's foolish. You have the wrong thing that you're measuring yourself by and commending yourself with. That's foolish. It is not wise. Amen. That foolish, the foolish that they is what? When you act foolish, you act like God doesn't see you. There's no God. He said, you're not wise. That's not what God wants. Amen. Let's skip down to verse 17. He said, "For he that glorieth, let him what?
Glory in the Lord."
Then forget about commending and measuring yourselves by yourselves. It's time to glory in the Lord. Amen. Actually, I think we might have to, what time is it? I think we might have to go to next week for that.
8:32.
All right, I think that's good enough. All right, we'll stop there for now. But the next time we come together, which will probably be in 3 Fridays, next Friday, there's a women's conference. What is true righteousness? Amen. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to go to verse 7 to 11 of Philippians chapter 3. Amen. We know what it means to be self-righteous. Thank God that another party in the world, we're not the way we're here, you just check yourself. No, yeah. You remember when we were in school, you ever do those, what are those quizzes?
Self-test.
Yeah, self-test. So teacher, I don't want to see it, I want you to grade yourself. All right, this is a self-test. So the self-test, you got all those things to check off if you're self-righteous. Another self-test, you got all things to check off if you're institutional or Pharisaic righteous. Now, this is our checklist to see if we are truly righteous. As it said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 24, that we have created a new man in true righteousness and true holiness. Verse 7. Paul says, my greatest desire is to please God. Amen. Not another individual. Amen. Not the Pharisees, not the Hebrew brethren. Nobody's going to put pressure on me to do anything. My whole desire is to please God. He said, so what things were gained to me, I counted all that stuff loss that I may win Christ. Everything that would be dear to me, I counted it all. Why? Because Jesus said, if many men would come after me, let him first. We got a whole lot of people in church don't want to deny anything. They just want everything. Paul said, I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I call on all things but loss for the what?
Excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus.
I got to have the excellency. I don't want anything secondary. I want the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom I have suffered the loss of. Amen. Some of us just holding on to a few things. It's time to suffer the loss. All things, and do count them, but that I may. Amen. To the world is important. To somebody else in another church or church, it might be important. Those things I count them lost. My whole desire is to be saved and go to heaven. I must win Christ. Tonight, who are we trying to win? Whose favor are we trying to gain? Whose approval are we trying to receive? Is it Christ or is it something else? He said, and be found in. Tonight, this is our checklist. I want to be found in Christ, not having
own righteousness.
You can't be in Christ and have your own righteousness. Amen. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is what?
Of the law.
Of the law. But that righteousness which is through what?
Faith of Christ.
The faith of Christ. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Can you please God if you don't have faith?
No.
Can you be righteous without faith?
No.
Can you be righteous without faith? When Jesus said, if the word of God, Hebrews, Jesus didn't say it, but Paul wrote, he said, without faith, you can't please God. Well, you can't be righteous if you can't please God. Just, I'm going to come back to this real fast. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 17 for a second. You cannot be righteous without faith. You cannot please God without faith and righteousness. A lot of people say, well, I messed up here and there. Eventually, I get the right word. Guess what? Your life is no longer pleasing God. You can't please God. Because when you have faith, you want to be righteous. And when you have righteousness, you want to have faith. He said, verse 17, he says, for therein, amen, is the
righteousness of God.
You know how you're righteous? The righteousness of God is revealed from what? In other words, your righteousness is based on you being saved by faith. But the fulfillment of your righteousness, you're continuing by faith. That's what faith to faith means. You started in faith. The fulfillment of your righteousness will be at the end when you continue in faith. Once the faith is dead, the righteousness is in because you're no longer seeking to please God. And without faith, it is impossible to please. Amen. I said, well, my faith is shaky. Well, you ain't pleased God. Because God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. Amen. You did run well, but what depended you now? It's time to get back where we ought to be. Amen. You're looking unto the wrong thing. Because when you're walking from faith to faith, you're looking unto Jesus because he is the what? Faith to faith is righteousness, author and finish. When you don't have faith, you cannot be righteous. Because when you don't have faith, you don't seek to please God. You please either yourself or someone else. Amen. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. The just shall live by faith. We'll close out in Philippians chapter 3. I think we'll go verse 9. And be found in him, not having
my own righteousness.
Tonight, whose righteousness do we have? Who are we trying to please? Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God
by faith,
can be righteous without faith. Amen. You can't go to heaven without faith. Verse 10, that I may have a personal and an intimate relationship with God. Not with the church. Not with the people in the church. Your relationship has to be right with God first. And then it has to come down to everybody else. You can't start at the bottom of the rung and work your way up to God. You got to start at the top and then God make everything else inclusive. Most of us have included everything and then we'll get to God when we get a chance to. That's not God. That's not righteousness. How can you say I do everything else first and then I give God that which is left over? That's the indictment he had in the book of Malachi against the children of Judah. He said, you won't even give this to the government. You won't give it to your father. You won't give it to anyone that you consider honorable. Anyone you want to please, you give them the best. God said, if you keep giving me that which is rejected and not worth anything, it's time that we give God our best. He says, that I may know him in a personal way, and the power of his resurrection and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I already attained or already made perfect. It's time to get right. Amen. 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 Who can stand? That's good enough. I'll pass you all the notes. I got far enough. But tonight, our desire is to have true righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Without righteousness, we cannot see the Lord. Amen. Whatever it takes. Amen. Whenever you make a decision or do anything, consider God always first. Amen. Don't consider everything else. Then God, consider God first. Because we will not go to heaven with a self-righteous, pious, or institutional righteousness. We can only get to heaven with true righteousness as we stand up Mackie and the ministers.
Thank you, Jesus.